Kia ora, Kofu Smithaho. Nā mai ki te whare, welcome to the House. When Parliament began again today after a week off, and after a number of politically contentious, combative weeks, it began with something that presumably everyone could agree on.
I move that this House congratulate the New Zealand Olympics team, comprising 204 athletes across 23 sports.
This kind of congratulations motion, where every party wants to add their own 2 cents worth, is not rare in Parliament. But they're not enormously common either. It is, and this is probably not surprising, almost always about a sporting outcome. I say almost, but I can't actually remember a motion of this kind for anything other than sport while I've been here. Anyway, these were some genuinely accolade-worthy outcomes.
Between her 8 golds and the bronze that she won in Rio, Dame Lisa is comfortably New Zealand's most decorated Olympian. And to put that feat into historic context, it deserves... 8 gold medals is bigger than the haul of any of Spain, Sweden, Brazil or Hungary managed at Paris. Hamish Kerr also made history by becoming the first New Zealand male to win a field event in the Olympic track and field programme. And his jump off in the final was probably...
Often it would be the Minister for Sport kicking it off, and Chris Bishop had visited Paris in that capacity, but he was gazumped by his boss. Politically, it's hard to pass up an opportunity to connect yourself with the happy buzz of success. And, equally, the congrats coming from the very top may add lustre in the other direction as well. All the following speakers were full of praise for the Olympians. There was someone from every party, except for some reason New Zealand First. For Labour, Pini Henare, who also looked forward to the next event.
Mr. Speaker, I'm proud of the way that New Zealand stands on the world stage. That will no doubt continue as our Paralympians make their way to the Games to compete on the biggest stage in the world.
These kind of speeches always threaten to become a list of names and medals, and they can end up sounding like everyone just cribbed from the same Wikipedia article. To avoid that, the follow-up speakers usually look for some unique angle to add to the accolades. For example, here's Scott Willis for the Greens.
14 of these 20 medals were won by our extraordinary women athletes and women's teams. They've not only inspired us, but they've set a powerful example for future generations of New Zealanders. And this success comes down to preparation. In October 2018, the then New Zealand government launched a strategy to address the inequities women and girls experience in sport and recreation, the Women and Girls in Sport Initiative. And as we can see, the results of this initiative have been massive.
For ACT, Cameron Luxton went all hallmark with family.
The Games are huge for families. And I'd like, along with other members of this House, to do a big shout out to the mums, dads, and all the whānau behind the scenes who helped every one of our athletes reach their potential. Achievements like these take a long time, a lot of energy, patience and petrol money, not only from our Olympians, but also from the people who support them and rally around them.
And for Te Pāti Māori, Taku Te Whiris. As it was already something of a love fest, he aimed some of that at the Minister for Sport, National's Chris Bishop.
And lastly, I'd like to pay tribute to the Minister, Chris Bishop, who in his interview with Te Karere from Pautangata was very, sent the mihi to the world and acknowledged the importance of te ao Māori, te iwi Māori and the Māori culture to the performance of our athletes on the international stage. I thought that was marvellous by our friend over there.
While MPs actually often do agree on things, such a level of unified amity is a little bit more unusual, especially possibly that love bomb from Te Pāti Māori to a government minister. Speaker Jerry Brownlee.
It's nothing like goodwill. We'll see how long it lasts.
And how long did it last? Well, the next thing was question time. So who's got a stopwatch? Here's Chloe Swarbrick.
Are we to take from that answer that the Prime Minister believes that Māori ceded sovereignty?
Oh, my dear.
I don't know how I can be clearer in answer to the first question.
When did Māori cede sovereignty?
6 of February, I just say to the member, we have a Treaty of Waitangi as the founding document of New Zealand. In there is protection for both Crown and Māori interests. But as I said to you, the position is very clear. The Crown, Māori ceded sovereignty to the Crown.
Yeah, revisionism.
Does his government's treaty principles bill consider the Waitangi Tribunal's finding from 10 years ago that, quote, the rangatira who signed Te Tiriti o Waitangi in February 1840 did not cede their sovereignty to Britain? Or does he continue or intend to continue to sideline the Waitangi Tribunal?
We haven't seen a treaty principles bill yet.
You've been listening to The House. It's a whakaronga koe ki te whare. This program is produced with funding from Parliament's Office of the Clerk. Matawa.